Hello, and welcome to another episode of Old Faces. I'm your host, Mr. Mocha. And on today's podcast, we're going to be talking about rejection. We're going to be joined by Mr. Minx, D, Dimitri VC. We're going to be joined by Socrates. We're going to be joined by Mike C from Keys and Anklets. And our guest speaker is going to be Sir Walter Doyle. We just call him Doyle. We are really looking forward to hanging out with you guys today. This is a subject that we've had different challenges with. We've talked about it, but we've never really got any great answers or great responses to it. And I have to say, I think we got the very best response from my boy Doyle. So everybody's going to join us here in a moment. So stay tuned. But before we get started, just remember, if you enjoy listening to Old Faces, please go and like and subscribe. That is OFACEZ wherever you get your podcast. Also, we ask that you follow, like, and retweet us on Twitter. And here we go. What's going on, everybody? Welcome again to Old Faces. I see we got some people on hanging out with us tonight already. I see Socrates. I see Sir Walter Doyle, a.k.a. Doyle. I see Juicy, and Mr. Minx has just jumped in to join us. We'll have Dimitri on in a minute, as well as Mike C. But we're going to get it started out, and I'm going to wait for everybody to come in and get to the good stuff. So let's just go down the list. Hey, Juicy, I see you on there. How you doing? I always appreciate you hopping in the chat with us. And there's D just jumped in. So, Sir Walter Doyle, jump in and introduce yourself. We're not going to get on topic yet, but I want you to introduce yourself.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. I'm Doyle, and you guys have seen me pop in and out of these podcasts for a while, and this time I'm actually going to be on the mic and not just typing. So I look forward to the conversation.
All right. Next up, Socrates, introduce yourself. And guys, make sure if you're not speaking, please mute your microphones because we catch all of your background noise.
What's good? Can you guys hear me? I'm in my car speaker.
You are loud and clear.
What's good, everybody? It's Socrates. I'm excited about this subject because we know we've been talking about it. So,
all right. And everybody knows Mr. Minx and Dimitri, but you guys might as well go ahead and say hi to the people.
Oh, there we go. My mic working now?
It's working.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Chris Minx. I am the stag husband of Angel Minx, who a lot of you may know from her social media presence. Videographer, editor, cameraman, lifestyle husband for the last almost 20 years now. And most recently, co-host podcast with Mr. Mocha on the O-Face podcast.
Hey, what up, everybody? It's Dimitri here. Y'all got to excuse me because I'm still, like, sick. bear with me. I'm fighting it, but we'll get it together. Shout out to Socrates for getting this going for us, too. Thank you.
All right. So now that we're on here, Doyle, I need you to jump in and lay down how this conversation began. Because he says something. He broke this down to me in a way that was very new for me because I've complained before. Oh, you know, everybody talks shit when I say the whole rejection conversation. I think like in a lot of situations, I'm kind of hard on things. And, you know, he gave me a slap in the face today. Doyle, you're up.
All right. So to pick up where we left off, I think we need to take a step back. A little while ago, I was at the house, and me and Mr. Moko were talking. We were talking about our childhood, our upbringing, and stuff like that. And it got, the conversation shifted towards self-confidence and where that came from, how integral his father was to his life and my lack thereof and all of that stuff. And one of the things I walked away from that conversation thinking is at his most primal, at his lowest self, most vulnerable, he loves him. He was instilled with a very deep, strong love of himself and confidence in who he is. And I envied that because I haven't always had that. So to fast forward to the conversation today, we got into a conversation. He was talking about rejection and why people don't take it a certain way. And I said, well, think about it. If in your heart of hearts, you love yourself, when you put yourself out there and you talk to somebody and they reject you, your thought process is, well, they don't know what they're missing. I know I love me. They just didn't see what was in front of them. That's easy for you to walk away. But if at your basic, at your most primal, you do not love yourself, you hate yourself, your demons are constantly in your ear saying you're worthless, you're garbage, you have no reason, nobody should ever love you. If you build up your confidence to try to talk to somebody and they reject you, they just confirmed everything your demons have been telling you all along. So it's a little bit harder for that person to then bounce back from rejection because that person has already been rejected a billion times by themselves on a day-to-day basis. So it's not as easy for that person to go, oh, she's missing out on a good thing, or, oh, he doesn't see what's in front of him. He doesn't see this prize. Because that person is thinking, yep, see, that's just another example that I'm garbage. I always was garbage. I was never worthy of love. And it just starts that spiral. And so I don't think that that's that part of it is a gendered thing. I think that's male, female, regardless. If you don't have that strong self-love and that strong, I know the word, but it's escaping me right now, to fall back on, it's easy to fall into this downward spiral of self-loathing, self-hatred, and whoever you're talking to picks up on it, and if they then reject you, you just go further down the rabbit hole. Now, I think what is gendered is males, when they're rejected, may strike out more violently or may have more anger and all of that, where females may respond the way that they respond. I think the response is more gendered, but that initial feeling of rejection and that confirmation, if you don't have a strong self-love, I think that's regardless. And so that's that kind of set Mr. Mook off, and he started falling in love with the concept. So.
Yeah. It was, you know, before I even jump in, to go along with what you said, because there was so much takeaway when you broke that down to me. And there was another side of it. Socrates and I had a conversation where he was breaking down how people have challenges when they haven't found the place that they want to be. Socrates, you're on here, man. You talk. Don't. Why am I talking? You talk.
Yeah. First off, I want to say Doyle, fire, brother. Mr. Mocha explained it right, man. The way you explained it was eloquent. Fire. I want to add a few things, and then if you don't mind, I'll go talk about what you were talking about. Sometimes your demons aren't telling you, oh, you're a piece of shit. You're not worthy. You're not. I identify with your story, Doyle, was my demons were saying, I'm all right. It was never saying, you're terrible. You're this. My demons were like, I'm all right. So whenever I look to approach a woman, especially in the lifestyle, and I feel like she was, you know, out of my league. That's one of the first conversations me and Mr. Mocha had, is being out of your league. That's when my demons kicked in. Like, bro, who you think you are? Like, you need to stay in your own lane. So I just wanted to add that. And then the second thing on what you were saying as far as the difference between men being rejected and women being rejected, those are all fire points. I just wanted to add, too, men get rejected way more than women. So it's one of those things where you have to face those demons more often. But women also have a hard time with it because they're not as used to it, right? They do get rejected, but not as often.
So yeah, they don't have the equipment for it.
Exactly. I've seen that. I've seen some women flip out because they didn't know what to do with it. But yeah, as far as like what you were saying, Mr. Mocha, it's like I come from it from a point of like, if you don't have the skills to do all of it, to get from zero to play, or zero if you're in a vanilla relationship, or zero to being in a relationship with her, or zero and just trying to hit it, I was like, I felt inadequate. You feel inadequate. You're like, what can I do in these scenarios where I might not measure up, or I might not be as tall enough? Like, I remember a situation where Mike Z was approached by this really tall woman, hot wife, and I love tall women. And I'm 6 foot, but I ain't Mike Z. So she approached him, and she was like, ooh, she gave him a hug. She's like, ooh, I just love tall men, and just walked away and shivered and everything. I told myself, I ain't got it. So I left it alone. And it wasn't until the end of the weekend that they approached me. And they were like, hey, we just really, you know, want to get to know you, this and that. And I was like, oh, I thought I wasn't qualified because I'm not 6'7", you know? And that's what my demons do. That's what I look at all the time.
And is that something that make, is that something that makes you not approach because your fear of the rejection, that your fear?
Yep.
Okay.
Like Doyle said, like, for me, it's not, I don't have those kind of demons, but it's like, yeah, the first thing I made up in my head is I'm too short. You know, first thing I made in my head is whatever my lack of skill or lack thereof, that's the first thing that goes to my head. It's like, oh, okay, I'm not, you know, they into these dark-skinned brothers now. You know, I'm from the El DeBarge. I'm from the El DeBarge time. I used to live down the street from El DeBarge.
Light-skinned brothers was winning for a long time.
We was pumping. I'm not light-skinned, but I'm not, like, dark, right? So it's like, oh, man, she like them dark brothers, you know? It's anything. Anything I'm not, that's where my demons get me. And it tells me, no, you can't go there. And you know what it does? It lies to you, because it's all what we're learning. It's all about being your true self. It's all about having confidence. It's all about owning who you are, right? I mean, we got brothers in here. I don't know who it is, but I know we got a brother in there. You might see him in, I think he's got Make Cuckolds Great Again, and he might have a spandex on and I don't know, a clown nose or something. Right. But he in there like the most confident brother there is, right? But our demons lie to us, saying, man, you too short for that, man. You ain't dark skinned enough. Or like, man, you a mutt, man. You ain't black. You black Puerto Rican and this and that. You don't know to speak Spanish or English. Your demons just go off on you, whatever it is. If you think you're ugly, or if you just think you need to stay in your own lane. That's what my demons keep telling me. Brother, stay in your own lane.
Socrates, can I ask, where do you think those demons originated from? Were they from back as far as your childhood, where your friends in the neighborhood, you know, said these things to you or commented about them? Or are these just self words that you've kind of formulated and created into your own demons as you've grown up?
Well, welcome to Alice in Wonderland. You just opened a can of worms. I'm going to take you down the hole right here, brother. So
yeah.
I know exactly where it comes from because of this seminar I've gone to called Landmark Education, and they hit on this. So I'll tell you exact story. My dad was a drug dealer, and between him and his best friend, they ran all of the drugs from the valley of L.A. to Fresno. This is known. They're both dead. This is all known. And I'll tell you that for a reason. So I was in the hood one time. I was in this place called the Pierce Apartments in Pacoima, and that was in the hood. And I was maybe like 12 or 13. And I was new to the hood. I was new. I'm the new light-skinned brother who speak that Mexican on the block. That's what they said. And so I had a bunch of women surrounding me. And these girls, I mean, from, I would say, probably age of 19 to 10, were like, "Ooh, he cute. Ooh, he's this, he's that. Ooh, wee." And I was feeling myself. I was like, "Ooh, I'm about to get something tonight. I'm only 12, but I'm about to get some pussy. I'm about to be on." I kid you not, about 10 minutes later, one of my dad's soldiers came through the neighborhood. Now, my dad was a drug dealer, but he never allowed me to do anything. I couldn't steal drugs. I got $5 a month for my allowance. So this dude came in on a Monday, and back then, and you in the hood, you get a hoopty with rims. So he had like a Monte Carlo with some Daytons. And he had the Pioneers, and he had the juice surrounding it. And I'm telling you, them women sprinted away from me to him. And at that moment, I told myself in my head, "You cute, but you ain't good enough." And that was it. That was the day.
Wow.
Boom. Right there. And I did, and it was because of Doyle's conversation with Mr. Mocha that I remembered that. And my whole life, I'll be like, "Stay in your lane, brother. You cute, but you ain't good enough."
Right.
My whole life. And I just realized it today. Thank you, Mr. Doyle.
Mr. Doyle, do you have a similar upbringing where the self-loathing or the demons grew their roots and then it developed over time?
Oh, yeah. Mine goes back way further than that. And before I go into a little bit of mine, I want to start with, I am a firm believer in the thought process of when you've been out of a situation longer than you were in that situation, you can't use that as an excuse any longer. But mine started literally with my mother and my father. I was one of those classic, my mom was a teenage mother, my biological and like left once he found out that she was pregnant. But that was her first love. So my mother never loved, like, well, I won't say she never loved me, but my mother never liked me because she blamed me for her losing her first love boyfriend. She got with my stepdad when I was still in diapers. And this dude just, you know, my mom was 18. He was 19. So this dude is like, "Yo, you keeping me from my chick. I gotta help deal with you." I'm a living, breathing example that he wasn't her first. And so my whole life, my mother was telling me I was ugly, that I was a garbage, that she should have never had me. I was a load she should have swallowed. Yes, that was a direct quote. And wow. He's following up with, when he wasn't verbally abusive, he was physically abusive. So my demons were all, I never had a chance. Like, those were my demons.
Right.
Other people are hugged and kissed and told how worthy they are by their parents. My first lullabies were, "I'm not." That everybody's life would have been better if I had never been born. Now I'm in my 40s. My mom left him when I was 16. I've been out of that situation way longer than I was in it. So I'm not using it as an excuse.
That's the hand you were dealt, but they are critical foundational pieces to how you have developed to where you are today, right? Because that journey has been extensive, obviously, and it's taken a lot of self-work on your own part to recognize those foundational pieces where they started and then deal with them so that you can live now, as you say, more beyond it than you were in it. I think that's incredible.
Yeah. And so a lot of times when I'm involved in conversations, a corrupt person doesn't understand the concept of somebody not being corrupt. Meaning a person who has always had that self-love, they don't understand the concept of anybody not having it. You know, a person who has never thought of hurting themselves or taking their own lives, they can't put themselves in the mind of somebody who has had those thoughts. And it's not a criticism, it's just a fact. If you can, then you're just a special type of person. And so, and the funny thing is, even though those demons have been in my ear since day one, I have dated some amazing people. I have dated a couple of models and things like that. So I have dated things that would tell a regular person, like, dude, obviously your brain is wrong because look at who you're with. But my brain would just think through it like, no, they're not really here for me. They're here for, and then you insert.
Same here.
Yeah. You know, you insert whatever. Oh, they're just here because you got money. Oh, they're just here because you got a car. Oh, they're just here to make their ex jealous. Like, okay, bro, y'all been together for 3 years. like, let it go. She's here for you. No. She's not here for me. And it took a lot of work to get beyond that.
How did you get through that work? Or who helped you with that work, if you don't mind me asking?
Friends, loved ones, coworkers, just a lot of different people at a lot of different places at a lot of different times. And sometimes it wasn't even, you know, a big, huge, let's grab 50 people and put him in a room and hold him down until he, sometimes it's the little things. Sometimes it's, you know, it's the, all right. There was this one chick that I looked at her, knew beyond a shadow of a doubt she was outside of my league, right? So me and my brother are outside of a club in Atlanta, and we've just seen her. She used to be a dancer, but we've seen her out. And she saw us as she's walking into a different club. And so she leans in the window and hugs my brother. And she's walking around the car, and as she's around the back of the car, so she obviously can't hear us, he goes, you should just grab her and kiss her. And I went, yeah, right, bro, stop playing. Damn if she didn't open the door, lean in, and lay one on me. Little things like that. It was like, all right, well, apparently I'm not as much of a demon or a gargoyle as I thought I was. And it's easy to slide out of those demons when things like that happen. But the demons are the loudest when you're alone.
Well, Socrates and Doyle, I want to say thank you. You know, thank you for this very in-depth conversation. Okay, I hear music.
That's all. Hello, you are. You're echoing. Your feet. You're sending feedback.
Me?
Okay, you clear now. Go ahead.
No, I wanted to thank Socrates and Doyle for this in-depth conversation. And, you know, I want to say Mr. Mocha brought this conversation to me this afternoon, and he was talking to me about it. And to be blunt, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I couldn't relate to it. But it was just so foreign and so different to me. I was like, okay, let's be critical. And I wanted to know more. And I said, dude, we got to get these guys on a podcast. I want to know more about this. And so I thank you guys for stepping up. Well, I appreciate you greatly. And also thank Chris because he stole my questions. But as you said before, you had friends that help you guys, you know, rebuild that confidence once to get you past the trauma. What other tools that you're trying to use to stay out of the rabbit hole when you start seeing those red flags? This could either go for either Doyle or Socrates.
Well, Demetri, I just want to say thank you for the acknowledgement. And I wanted to add one other thing. It's like the way Mr. Mocha grew up, the way his father taught him and raised him, I used to tell my son, I'm jealous of you because I didn't have the dad that I am. So it's like, you know, both of my parents, my dad, my biological father came from Vietnam. That fucked him up. And then my stepdad was just, you know, a drug dealer trying to make it. He was a good guy besides dealing drugs. And so I was always insecure because they were both in and out of my life because of jail. So I never had a dad to sit there and constantly raise me that way. And then these incidents come along and you let it allows your demons to take precedence and be like, well, your demons say, stay in your lane, brother, stay in your lane. And you don't have a father to, you know, get that out of there. But what I had to do is I read a lot of books, man. I probably read, I'm not joking, on the subject of women and approaching women alone, 150 books on the subject. And so I just had, I'm a nerd, so I read my way out of everything, you know, or seminars or whatever. But honestly, the biggest catalyst was my fiance and Mr. Mocha. I don't mind saying I was insecure when it came to going at a certain level or what I thought women were above my, you know, I've had the same thing to Doyle. I've dated models. I've dated beautiful women of all sorts, but like I said, I always had that, well, they're with me because I'm the nice guy and they're just taking a break with me. You know, I'm a passionate dude and this and this and that, or, you know, yeah, I'm around all these gangsters, but I'm the guy that does the computer work stuff. I'm the nerd. So they're just taking a break. I had all these conversations. So all of the seminars and all the books I've read kind of give you the tools to self-talk your way out of it or understand certain things. Or a really good book is called The Game. And it's just a book on how to approach women and how to see them. And, you know, from anything from the red pill to pickup artists, I read all of it because I was like, I don't want to be like this. And I didn't have any role models for me. All the dudes that were doing it right were either lying, and I just don't like lying to women, or they were simping, or they weren't doing it in a way that I appreciated. So I had to read my way out of.
Right, but you were seeking a role model.
Oh yeah,
I think that's pretty
big
cool.
Time.
Juicy points out here. There's Mr. Mocha. There's a Juicy's comment. It kind of goes along with what Socrates is saying there. That part of gaining confidence is by taking risks and chances. Mirror work, she calls it. Speaking positively to yourself daily in the mirror. That's the, you see a lot on Instagram. I'm a good person. I'm positive. I'm successful. You know, those types of things. But that mirror work is a technique that I know counselors utilize quite frequently with people to defeat these demons that these two guys have spent a lifetime working through and getting ahead of.
Juicy, I'm going to send you a picture of my mirror. I have, me and my fiance have quotes on there that we read every day. So that's good shit. I agree on that.
For me, working through it, it was quite a few different avenues. Mr. Mocha definitely is part of that because we've been pimping since pimping. Like, we've been down like four flats for a long time.
Yeah, that's why he was happy to slap me around when I made that comment earlier about rejection. You know, he said before the eloquence came in, it was some choice words to make me shut the fuck up. So please continue. But, I'm sorry.
But it's friends, and I also try to do a quid pro quo, a this for that. Something negative starts to creep into my brain, I try to remember something positive that would shut that negative up. Like, oh, nobody wants you. Wait a minute. You have an ex that still calls you once a week, even though she's engaged, to try to get you back. Oh, you're ugly. Wait. You used to date blah, 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 blah. Oh, nobody cares. Bruh, your phone is constantly ringing from friends and family members that just want to talk to you because they enjoy your conversation. And so a lot of that has helped negate it because it's, okay, want to know what? You're a liar. You have to be a liar because I have X, Y, and Z to prove that you're lying. Because I'm a very logical type person, or at least I try to be. My
best. Well, so you both you guys said that you have dated models and beautiful women, and of course, no, we all have been down that road. And also, this is not really like a knock on anybody, but I found some of the most prettiest and beautiful women to be ugly once they open their mouth to say some dumb shit.
Agreed.
So, With that being said, I'm pretty sure with you having these experiences with these beautiful women, there had to be some women that you have also rejected for whatever reason it may be. So did you go into that reflection of, well, I'm going to reject her, but I'm going to put it to a point where it's not demeaning her or making her feel bad? Or did you just give the energy of, well, fuck it, I'm dating beautiful women now, so it is what it is? Like, were you, are you still humble of your success and the person that, the stronger person that you are now? Because again, you know, there's a thin line to it. You could be humble, or you could come out to be a monster. So where do you stand there?
Personally, I hate hypocrites.
Yes.
And humility is at the top of my priority list.
Thank you.
Because to me, nothing is uglier than somebody who went through some type of struggle and then immediately forgot everybody that was down at the bottom with them when they got up top, or similar people. So one of my magic powers has always been the ability to put myself in somebody else's shoes. So if you were to ask some of the people that I rejected, they may not say, you know, he was the most eloquent, kind person, but I can guarantee you not a single one of them can say that I was crass, rude, or dismissive. You know, I would at least make the attempt to make the rejection as soft as possible. But that doesn't always go the way that you want it to go, because hell, I'm a straight person. I've had to reject gay men. And even on that aspect, I try to make the rejection as kind as possible, because being kind costs nothing.
So going on with that, my question is, how do you see rejection now, and how do you handle it now?
Yeah, that's a big thing for me now. Well, so what me and my fiance have been talking about is something called Akakords, and it's a Hawaiian concept about everybody having a connection with somebody. It might be a small, weak connection just passing by, or it might be your soulmate connection, right? And we were talking about that, and I told her, once I talked to you and you were telling me what Doyle said, it happened for me immediately, where it's like, oh, my self-worth is not at all connected to her decision-making. And I don't know why, but I feel like my personality blinded me to see anything else than what it is. She's just making a quick decision whether or not she wants to, you know, do anything with you or approach you or give you any signals or accept your advances. So now I just look at it like we've always been talking recently, like, just be yourself. Nobody can be you better than you can. And so now I'm just like, okay, I'm going to approach. And if she says no or is not interested in me, it used to be, oh, like Doyle said, confirms, I should stay in my lane. What was I doing talking to her? She's got all these dudes hollering at her. She's got the best top-notch guys in here after her or with her. You stay in your lane. That's what he used to say now. Now it just says, oh, she made a decision, and maybe it's probably the best decision. Maybe it wasn't. Who knows? Who cares? I know what I bring to the table, and I'm not for everybody, but for those I am, I try to give it 100%. I'm going to lay it down. You're going to get all I got. And I'm an experienced person. I'm not going to, there's every time of fucking is great, and every time of interaction is great, but I'm going to give you an experience. That's what I like. If you want, you know, third leg pound town dude, I'm not the guy, you know? So now I'm just like, the way I look at it now is I'm just here to connect with those who value what I value. You value an experience, I'm your man. You value black men, I'm your man. With a little bit of cinnamon, Puerto Rican spice, I'm your guy. If you don't value that, then it's cool. It's not connected to my self-worth anymore, thanks to Doyle.
Have you ever thought about the rejection you get, it may be rejection for that moment, like the clarity of, let's say she says not right now, and she really mean not right now, so she reject you, but maybe she want to go get a break, or maybe see you tomorrow. And she do bring that approach back to you to continue where you left off from the rejection. Have you ever had that experience, or you just, once you got rejected, you just disappeared?
Honestly, I have had that experience. And that experience also shapes how I currently deal with rejection, because a lot of people have full-on conversations between them and groups of people in their head. And they, in their mind, okay, she's going to say this, and then I'm going to say that, and then she's going to say this. But the issue is, you never truly know what a person is going through. And for all you know, that person may be interested, and they may be going through the whole demon in their head saying, girl, you're not good enough for him. You're not this, you're not that, you're not this, you're not that. And it just takes them to build up their confidence just a little bit to circle back around and try to reengage with you. And so, yeah. Once again, it brings it back to that humility, and that don't talk yourself out of a possible situation because you jump in the gun based off of the conversation you had in your own head.
So I have
I got a question. We keep talking about rejection by women. I'm wondering if you guys feel a similar level of rejection by males. And I'm not talking in a sexual way, but say you show up, I think Socrates, you were saying growing up with the drug dealers, right? The OGs, the soldiers would show up and they had all the respect, right? And you go up and try to hang with those guys and they would dismiss you, usually probably with some sort of derogatory, like, get out of here, shorty, you know, or something.
Right.
The feeling of rejection from a male to be a part of the group or whatever it might be, does that hit the same way as rejection from a female? Does it sting more? Does it sting less?
I feel like it stings less because I don't know. Maybe it's because when a woman says, I approve, right, when they accept your advances, that I feel like that says a lot more about you as a whole, as a person. And then when the OGs would, or any dude would, I don't know, maybe because I didn't have the trauma that I did with the woman in that situation, I'm just like, oh, okay, well, you know, maybe we're not the good type. You know, that was my first lesson in getting out the hood, because I was like, man, I've had it all. I was like, I used to live in, I lived in New York with my grandmother. She's Puerto Rican. She spoke Spanish. Now, I was so young, I didn't even know what that was. And I moved back to L.A. I'm going to say this word. I don't know how we feel about this word. This is what they say. You just a nigga that speak that Mexican. And it was like, I was like, what is that? I don't even know what you're talking about. Beat up. Okay, cool. I got beat up several times because the black gang, especially Crips, nothing against Crips, but I was in a blood neighborhood, they would beat me up because they think I'm translating for the essays. And the essays would beat me up because I'm black. You ain't supposed to be. And they think I'm translating for them. You know, so I got all kind of rejection. And then the black women in my hood, this is not all black women, in my neighborhood, they was like, well, you ain't got no wad. You ain't rolling no Daytons. You ain't driving the, you know, this kind of car. You ain't dressing. And I couldn't because my dad wouldn't let me. So then it was like, they're rejecting me. My only failsafe is I spoke Spanish. So I was like, oh, yeah, mommy, I can holler at the Mexican girls, you know? So that was about it.
You made me not want to go to L.A.
Yeah, that get harder.
And all these women are lining up for their future, right? They're looking for They're looking for who's going to be their best provider and best protector. They're not looking at any quality about looks or anything else. They're just like, who's going to give them the best life?
Exactly. I don't know if you're talking about the difference between the cultures, but that's what it really is. In the Hispanic culture, you're looking for a husband. And it's not that black men are not, black women are not looking for husbands either. I'm just saying it's inbred in them. It's part of the culture. It's part of our culture. And so they just like that. They can, you know, they might like a black man, but yay, I get to have a black man to bring to abuela. And he can, and they can have a conversation. He understands our culture. And, you know, he doesn't feel, uncomfortable sitting down and having you serve cafe con leche and, you know, all of these little things. And I was like, okay, I'll just go over here. You know, but a dude is like, all right, that's cool. I'll find another friend. You know, that's cool. I'll find another dude. It doesn't say anything about me if you don't like me because I can fight. You know, I'm pretty smart. I'm all right. I got your back. I'm a loyal friend. It didn't really hit any of those insecurities. But that one incident, I repeated it to myself over and over that night. I literally said, oh, you ain't cute enough. I remember that night. And then every time a woman rejected me. What's that?
You keep saying you're not cute enough. Have you ever thought about character?
Well, I mean, I forced me to develop character. But my point is, like, it's just a lie. Like he said, I like what Doyle says, a demon. It's a lie in your ear just telling you lies all the time. And so it's like, of course I developed character. And of course I started realizing that I really wanted women of character. That's not worried about my money or my status or anything. But you still have that little demon, like you said, telling those lies. Like, nah, man, you need to get the muscles like Mr. Mocha do. And then you probably should start tanning, brother. You know, it says that stuff. Instead of, maybe she rejected me, like you said, maybe it wasn't the time. Maybe she's into something else. But
at a certain point, you got to pick the struggle. Because you can't be overweight, broke, and an asshole.
You got to choose one.
Right. You know what I mean? You got to pick one. So I can't. If I don't got nothing else, I got to have carrots. But to circle back around to the original question, for me, rejection was rejection. Regardless of whether it was a romantic thing or whether it was inclusion into the group. But I will say this, being rejected by other men and, you know, being rejected out of their groups did cause me to become more of a jack of all trades. And I because of that, I noticed people like that. And sometimes it's definitely not a chosen thing. Like, I was a city boy, you know, grew up in Philly. So when I moved down to Georgia, some of the guys that I started hanging out with down here, they grew up in the South. They hunted, they fished, they were in the guns, they were into all of that stuff. So I was kind of at first rejected out of that group because it's like, all right, we talking about being out in the woods and seeing an 8-pointer walk around the corner and getting that buck fever and I'm looking at you like you crazy. But that caused me to look into it and in order to find
assimilate,
I guess. Assimilate. In order to find a common ground. And because of that, I became a jack of all trades where, you know,
there are very few things.
And I can have that. Yeah, I can have that conversation. Go ahead.
There are very few things you can talk to Doyle about that he doesn't know. He says jack of all trades. Like, there's very few topics you can bring up that he doesn't know a whole lot about. And I'm nerdy as fuck. And there's sometimes, like, I'll be talking to him like, what the... Like, I'm mad that he knows a bunch of shit that I don't know. Okay, like, I'm like, what? I thought I knew this subject. You know, so legitimately, like, he is... And it's interesting. He just said something that I didn't know because he's one of the few people... You know how there are certain people who you're afraid to bring around just anybody? He's the person I can bring around anybody. Like, he is... Doesn't matter what situation I bring him into, I know he's going to be good. So that's actually, I'm surprised to hear the part about the, I would never even thought that he'd had a hard time assimilating to the group of guys because anytime it doesn't matter if we're around strippers or around, he's always been Doyle, just cool and smooth.
So that's something I'm learning something
new,
too.
It's something I developed. I mean, a lot of that male rejection definitely was in my early 20s, teenage years. But that helped develop me to the point where I can talk sports. I can talk hunting. I can talk fishing. I can talk anime. I can talk manga. I can talk games. I can talk science. Because I found myself in all of these different groups at different points. So I forced myself to engage. And if I don't know, I shut up and I learn. And I listen. And I take interest.
It sounds like a survival technique, actually. Doyle, that you actually utilized what was the challenge and became the knowledge seeker, that then you could utilize that to turn the tables and make it work for you as an adaptation. I mean, it's incredible.
It really
not was, everybody it was not everybody can technique. Right. Not everybody can do that. So here's my follow up to the question that I just asked, and how much of the growth and development comes along with age, time, and just miles under your feet on the earth. Now, I know the panel here, you know, with Dimitri and Mr. Mocha and myself, we've been around the block a few years, right? And I'm guessing, looking at this audience tonight, all of us have been in life for a little bit of a while. The stories that of the major rejection, the hurt, all these different things, all happened in your earlier years. How much of just time and experience in life when you come to realize? Because I mean, at my age now, I kind of like look at people and go, I don't care if you fucking like me or not, right? I'm here. You're going to either deal with me or you're not, but I'm here. And that just comes from the years of experience and being in a lot of different places. Does that hold true for everybody else?
You ever heard the saying, the youth is wasted on the young?
Love that saying. Absolutely love that saying.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
I want
perspective.
I want the
everything.
And the I want the knowledge.
You don't get it until you get it. It takes right. time.
I want the knowledge I have now with my 20-year-old body.
Yeah. So do the rest of
us. There's my genie magic. You know, I get that lamp, right? I'm going to rub that lamp. Yeah, yep.
Oh, if that was to happen, I'd be a monster. One. I would be a whole problem.
So now that we're looking at this, another... And the cool thing is, I know Doyle, I know Socrates, and I know this isn't your style. We've talked about rejection. Dimitri and I, we've had lots of conversations about rejection because, you know, just in the environment that we tend to be in, throwing parties, things like that, we've seen a lot of guys, men and women both, handle rejection poorly. And I think that after talking to Doyle earlier, it opened up a lot of things. The reason... a possible explanation as to why, you know, a guy gets rejected and he says something rude. I know, I think it was a couple of years back, Dimitri and I, there was a couple who we know, and they're very nice. They're very open. Couple were getting ready to go play. Guy see him, he goes and tries to talk to him. And basically they say, no, thank you. Not right now. The guy's a total dick to him. To the couple, and they would have played with him later. They were just busy at the moment. And I think listening to this creates, you know, possible explanations as to why people take rejection so poorly.
I don't think this excuses any of that, but it does put in perspective the possible motive behind it. Because, you know, hurt people hurt other people. And if this is a person who was on my end of the spectrum and it took a lot for them to build up their courage to approach somebody, this isn't routine. This isn't normal for them. And then they're, you know, they already felt the rejection coming, but they tried to put their best foot forward and then they subsequently got rejected. I could see somebody striking out. And then I could also see some of those people feeling like a complete piece of garbage later on when they decompress and they're thinking about that all by themselves when they're alone. Like, why did I call her out her name? Why did I, like, I am not that person. I can't believe, because sometimes hurt people hurt people.
Yeah, and it was really, when I was growing up, there was a place called the Fox Hills Mall in L.A., and it was known, like, you can go down there and a dude would approach a woman, and back then the women were not nice on their rejection. And a lot of it is because they're dealing with gangsters, you know, and they, the dude would be like, hey, you know, let me holler at you, this and that. She'd be like, whatever. She'd say, no, you ain't, you too short, whatever. They would just be rude. And then the second she said that, he would be like, fuck you then, bitch. I never want your ugly ass anyway. And just walk off and, you know, and get all gangsterous and stuff. That was typical. Every time you went to the mall, you saw that. And I do think that's connected, because it's like, you know, when you're growing up in these environments, we didn't have the best fathers, or the father wasn't there. The situation, all the time you're dealing with all kind of rejection everywhere you go. And so you start having connections between your self-esteem and the way that person's treating you. And then it cuts, it burns more when you're connected with, oh, I'm not good enough in the first place. And now she's just confirming it.
Well, I will say, you guys are, again, I would praise you. You're fucking amazing. You bring so much balance to life, medium. It's like you are nature's referee. You know, it's crazy that I used to tell Xavier this. My life was so black and white that I never saw the gray. And that gray area was always the gray area of reasoning. And I never saw, because I never cared to try to get into it or listen to it or whatever. But I see clearly that it's guys like you that's put in this universe, or just within the circle for that reason, or that being, whatever the case may be. Yes, you had the trauma, but you do, with your trauma and your experiences, you kind of got to pat yourself on the back that you made it. You grew. Can't you now see that?
Yeah, you guys are the success story.
Well, I'm not gonna lie, it's hard for me, because
it's hard.
This is just yesterday, my man. This morning. No, I dealt with that. Man, you know how many hours Mr. Mocha put in trying to get me, like, hey, man, you're a good looking brother. What's wrong with you? Hey, Mr. Mocha, come on in. Here you go. Let him know. Like, it was 2 days ago. He was just like, hey, what are you talking about? You're a decent looking dude. What do you mean? Yeah, that demon has been in my head from 12 years old to this morning. I'm not lying.
It's no, my oldest I friend.
No, I get that. I understand the trouble behind it. It's like, and I do understand that you would be your own worst critic. But at some point, if you, like, you're praising Mr. Mocha right now, and he's shouting with the compliments and the confidence, why can't you not trust that?
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying. I have worked hard, right? I didn't read 150 books on the subject for nothing. But, you know, it was a struggle. And you're right, I did make it, because now I'm surrounded by people like yourself. You know, I was telling Mr. Mocha, I can't wait to hang out with Dimitri, because he tells me about how sharp you are. He tells me about how sharp this entire team is. And I've been listening to all you guys now. So I've been listening to Prince. Yeah, Chris is... said stuff. I called Mr. Mocha and said, man, what Chris said right there was fire. Mr. Minks has it, you know, and I do fashion myself as someone.
Hey guys, we feeding back. Everybody mute your mics for a second, except for Socrates.
So I consider myself someone who does commit to Kanai. We were talking about that earlier, constant and never ending improvement. And it did lead me here. But man, I wish, like you said, I wish
you were too politically correct to leave out the. You so politically correct, you left out that last part, huh? I'm not gonna put you on the spot. That's okay. I'll jump on that grenade in a minute. Go ahead.
All right, I want to jump. jump in on that and add my two cents or one, and I'll owe you one. But part of it is sometimes you don't realize how far you've come while you're still in the journey. Like, right. If you grew up poor, you start making $20,000-$30,000 a year, you still got the mentality of a poor person. You don't realize that you're not making 10 no more. You jump up to 50, to 70, to 90, you break six figures. Certain people are making $120,000 a year. They are in the 5%, but they don't realize that they have made it. They don't realize that that is above the average. And so,
like Mike Tyson, I'm just trying to feed my kids.
Yeah, and so I say that to say, like, I appreciate the acknowledgement, but I don't look at myself as having made it out and being a success story. I look at myself as this is an everyday thing. I know how bad it can be if I let my mind wander. Don't let my mind wander. I got to keep moving forward. And there's a buddy of mine. He's instilled in my head, motion is life. The only fish that goes with the flow is a dead fish. Always move forward, one foot in front of the other.
Well, why don't you try and stop saying but and just take but out of your vocabulary and out of your mindset and actually look at what all you have achieved. Like, I got to give both you guys, we have to exchange phone numbers because I don't want to use the word man fan, but this is a great conversation. I want to learn more because, again, it's like you guys are teaching us. So you have the pedestal, you have the platform. So,
Dimitri, I'm supposed to be hollering at you anyway because me and Mr. Winkle were just talking this week that I was supposed to reach out to you for Splash in Atlanta.
Yeah, and then Mr. Mocha in trouble.
I got you good hook up there too. You can use my affiliate code. I'll get you in the Splash. You don't need to be here.
And Mr. Mocha in trouble. If he didn't tell you already, Dimitri, I was like, that guy's sharp. I can't wait to hang out with him and talk to him.
Hey, this is not about me. This is about you guys right now.
Make it about you. They both throwing rocks at me. No, make it about him.
Whoa. I didn't throw any rock at you.
Not yet. Nah. You're right.
No, I don't put family like that.
You know I'm talking shit. I have to say this. This is something that I have to throw out there. This is a conversation that me and Doyle had some months back, and I can tell you why I value this conversation so much. Number one, we've talked about men and their emotions, and rejection is a very emotional subject, obviously for men and women both, but you know, I'm not a woman, so I can't speak from that place. And then also learning that there's different levels to this shit. There's different levels to rejection, and there's different levels to the way we feel. Doyle, I think it might have been Doyle who really helped me understand. Because I remember saying, I've said this before, I never understood the concept of depression. I never understood the concept of anxiety. I'm embarrassed to say I used to think that that was just an excuse that people made. And then once you have conversation with so many people and you start realizing, okay, it maybe really is a thing. But then you're talking to somebody who you've known for over a decade and they really go deep and break it down. You start understanding these things. And also, you know, Doyle being a person I trust, in fact, Doyle was the one who called me an idiot the time that I gave my wife a very honest answer when I shouldn't have given her that answer at that moment. I'm not sure if it was what the fuck is wrong with you with a bunch of other words. So him being someone who knows my family, who I trust, who I deal with, explain these things to me and say, hey, you don't understand why certain people feel the way they feel because your journey has been different.
And I always felt like, you know, as a man, you should feel this way, feel that way. And then, you know, we start talking about the male emotion and all of these different things. And then you have guys who come on and say, hey, this is another piece of the male emotional journey. It's powerful. It's a big thing to me. And I appreciate Socrates, Doyle. I mean, Doyle is, you know, he'll probably be at the house tomorrow. So, you know, I'll have to buy you a beer or something like that. But I appreciate it, fellas.
Well, you make a hell of an old fashioned, so.
I'll pick up the burger.
Can I geek out?
I'll go pick up the burger.
Mr. Mocha, are we coming to an end on this episode?
Yes, sir.
All right. I want to throw out one geeky moment here of some information. Everything we've been talking tonight about was written by an American psychologist in a paper called The Theory of Human Motivation. The guy's name is Abraham Maslow and Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. I think everybody's introduced to those, right? So all of us walk through this basic five steps. The physiological needs is the first one. That's, you know, food, you know, shelter, clothes, all that kind of stuff, right? Then you have your safety needs. You're safe from the tigers and lions out there. Then it goes to love and belonging. Then it's esteem. And finally, it's self-actualization. And basically, Maslow's theory is that you go through your life trying to achieve these five steps. And that's what motivates each one of us, man, woman, whatever, is to reach through these five steps. Not all of us can actually reach that self-actualization where you can become the absolute best version of yourself. Everybody gets caught up here. What we're talking about is the love and belonging. We want that love. We want that attention. We get rejected as we seek that. And that becomes the challenge. And it hurts our esteem, which is the next level above. So all the conversations tonight that we've had, guys, I appreciate hearing the different perspectives because each one of us comes from a different place. And each one of us has walked this path to get where we are today. And we're talking about successes and people who have figured it out and yet still face those demons every morning when they wake up or every Friday night when they get ready to go out. And for those of us who are blessed enough to have that that life partner who's chose to join them, even though, like in my case, I outkicked my punk coverage as well, they choose to stay with me and not reject me for all this time. So thank you, everybody, for all of that. And thanks for letting me geek out there. Mr. Mocha,
can I join that geek out real quick?
Yes, sir.
The interesting thing about the hierarchy of needs and the fact that it steps is that it's not linear. You look for food. Once you've secured food, you look for safety. Once you've secured food and safety, then you go to love. But if something happens, you lose that safety. Now you're back at the safety step. So self-actualization isn't necessarily an end goal because you can reach that pinnacle, get divorced. Now you're back at, you're trying to secure safety. Now we're working on love again. So it's a constantly moving and evolving thing. So I love that one. I love it. Sorry.
So the key takeaway is don't get hung up at one of those steps. You're always going to have to adapt and move. Those who get stuck are the ones that end up having a difficult time.
Can I jump in? I want to piggyback on something Mr. Mink said. I really appreciate you saying that. I feel like today I've discovered something new. And I feel like I have the tools to really quiet that demon, but it just started the battle of saying, you know what, I'm going to beat this guy, but I know I'm going to deal with it at the next splash. I know I'm going to deal with it in the next situation, but at least now I got some way better tools because the team of friends that I'm building right now.
I was going with that.
Trust in the circle. Yeah. Circle of trusted individuals.
You got some great kings and friends right here that are waiting to stand beside you guys. It was just a phone call away. And this is not just all talk. This is something that we show with actions. And I will say this from day one of me, Mr. Mocha. He was that guy. Like, I couldn't believe that there was another guy that was all action like myself. Also with Mr. Minks, you know, like fuck, here's another guy. So, and we're all brothers, and you know that we can always put another chair to the table, and you guys are more than welcome. All we need is just that phone call or that text, and we on our way.
Don't worry, I'll send the numbers so over to that. You later.
Be there. All right. Just know that, like I said, we're here for you, but we also gonna hold you accountable to be there for us as well, because I do believe in lending that shoulder just as much as you need our shoulder.
Reciprocity.
Indeed. Fellas, ladies, gentlemen, the fellas on the panel, I think this has been a great episode. I've taken away so much. I would love to continue this episode, but next time, get some ladies, you know, kind of involved in the episode, because I would love to see, you know, I'd love to hear their perspective on it, especially when you're talking to guys who aren't doing the usual macho, let me hide my feelings thing. So I think that would be really cool. And just for the record, if you enjoy listening to Old Faces, you can find us wherever you listen to your podcast, and make sure you spell it right. O-F-A-C-E-Z. Until next time, Mr. Minks, Dimitri, Doyle, Socrates, thank you guys very much. I want to give a shout out to Juicy, Blushing Vixen, as always, Reserve Stag. Reserve Stag, this is the last time you get to sit here and not join. You messed up. You already joined and talked to us. So now, from now on, I expect to hear you in there. And everybody else, if we don't know you, we want to get to know you. So come back and hang out with us again. And until next time, thanks for joining O Faces.
Peace.
Later, y'all.
I'm talking finger licking, good thing you was made for me. It ain't even all the way in, and you're looking like you can't take any more.